Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
The last question again from the other side. Today is still, this is side two, or is this a new cassette?
Not another cassette.
Oh, this is cassette number two.
Yeah.
I didn't say the date in the other one, sadly, but I'll say at least this one. This is April 16th, post-tax, 1992, and we're talking about the roadmap thinking, how to memorize standards or complex jazz heads with the minimum of work so as to free more parts of our body, mind, spirit to play and love music. So instead of always thinking numbers, many times when it's easier, we're going to think intervals. And we also said earlier that instead of thinking of numbers in a new key, when it's easier, we'll retain the numbers in the old key, even if we could on paper say that it's a temporary modulation. So the new bit, the third thing that we got to at the end of the other tape was this intervallic thing. So West Coast Blues, I can guarantee you Wes was not saying 2 of 7. I swear to God, I bet everything I own that that man wasn't saying that. But I bet he was saying go up a half step to B. And if somebody said, let's play West Coast Blues one day in F, he'd smile and go, let's do it. And he'd remember to come up a half step from F to F sharp to get his minor, the crazy minor that shows up, right?
How would you, let's say you had a new cat in town.
I say, think up a half step.
And he goes, you go, let's play West Coast Blues. He goes, hey, I don't know the changes. Why don't you tell me?
I say 1 flat 7, dominance, both of them. Then it's 1 7, bam, bam, boo, boo, boo. Then I say, you don't go down this time a whole step. Instead, you go up a half step to a minor 7. So if I was on the bandstand, didn't have time to verbalize it, let's just say, tonic, flat 7, dominant. That's even too many words. Let's say, 1 dominant, because I would tell guys before I got on the stand with them, if they expect me to do this, that to me American music has 3 kinds of keys, 1 major, 1 minor, 1 dominant. So I'd say, this tune's in a dominant key, it's kind of bluesy, so when I say stuff in, from here on in, on any song that's bluesy, if I say 1, you better remember for your own happiness that it's got to be a dominant, because that's the kind of key it's in, not minor, not major.
Right.
So then I'd free up the words between us, so I'd say 1, I might try and do it fast before it comes at him. I'd say 1, down a whole step. Wouldn't even use flat 7 on the stand. It's faster.
Yeah.
Same as saying flat 7. 1, up a half step, minor. By then, it's come up, so I didn't say it fast enough to even say it for him. So I might walk him through it once first. It's not an easy tune to bark at.
Sure.
I don't want to be a drill sergeant either. I want to be kind to somebody.
So you would just say up a half step and then
make it.
What about like the chromatic?
Wait, now we're not done. Then we say it's companion dominant. So it has a dominant there too.
Right.
Every minor 7 loves the dominant a 4th higher. Then we say the 4 chord. I'd say 4. 4 minor and flat 7 for blowing changes.
Right.
Back to 1. His blowing changes might go 3, 6, flat 3. Flat
yeah, it's like what I'm talking
I'd
about.
I refer to those in my mind as that. I don't think roadmap intervals.
Okay.
Those. But you could say 3, 6
chromatic, down
chromatic
two,
units
six.
Down twice, right?
Yeah, okay.
That would work. But I've trained my head so hard to think of flat 3 so I wouldn't blow it on tunes. So I could be in G and think B flat real fast. So I don't want to give that up. All the years I spent trying to know what a flat 3 minor is and a flat 3 major and a flat 3 dominant. So I do make concessions to my background here of the years I put in.
Right.
I hate to just throw it all overboard when it's not necessary.
Right.
But something like coming up a half step versus saying that it's a 2 of a key of 7 that I can't hear.
Okay.
If I try to hear that as 2 of 7, then I have to sing a melody like, it sounds like we're going into this key. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it that way. I just want to hear it as a boss place that Wes visited that lives a half step up.
Okay. Okay.
It's easier to think. Let's think it through in D now. Here is the song. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a 16th note. Mm-hmm. Somebody will bring it back someday and change the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the progression. 1. So it's now down the whole step, right? C. You call out the letter names for me now. D.
C. D.
D. C.
Right. D. And then E flat.
Minor.
Minor.
A flat 7.
Seven, right. The D.
Oh, no, then it goes to the 4, which
four.
Is. 4. Mm-hmm. 4 minor. Mm-hmm. Flat 7. Now this is where every version is different. That you got to listen to Wes and see which one he's doing. He has his own variations on it. Many times he just stays there on it. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to the 5.
Mm-hmm.
4. And back. So it's really a simple blues except for that one weird spot. But his blowing changes are 1, mm-hmm. flat 7, 1, up to minor,
mm-hmm.
4. 1 minor and 4, because that's so that's like down a half step, and then it's all chromatics.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Then at the end he goes 1 flat 3 flat 6 flat 2 1.
Yeah, flat 6 is a major.
Mm-hmm. It's,
now instead of flat 3, sometimes he throws in the flat 7 minor in front of it. Mm. To find flat 7 minor, I recommend to people to think down a whole step to get it real fast. So that's an interval we're all kind of used to thinking down a whole step.
Right.
So, with fairly much ease. So B flat, A flat minor. Push forward in the cycle, right? The A flat minor.
That's the horns, man. You're listening to the big band section.
Yeah, the verve one, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a video of them doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Just got it recently.
Okay,
very terrible.
From the Jazz Store or something?
No, a guy gave it to me. He made a copy for me. It's from Britain.
Wow.
I don't know where this cut was from, but then there's a TV show. It's all from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
The one studio chart that they do is West Coast Blues, and they're about six guys on horns and stuff. He is so
good. Do you have that CD, West Montgomery Plays the Blues? That's a kill.
It's just all cuts from other ones.
Right. Okay. So that's how I'm going to start thinking and memorizing, then you're saying.
Yeah, this is the trickiest part of the song right here, if you do. Tell you why, there's an inharmonic deal. E flat, down a whole step, A flat minor, D flat 7. If I say, where do they like to go normally? A flat minor 7, D flat 7. In regular life, in all music, A flat minor 7, D flat 7.
G flat.
That's right, that's where it goes. Then inharmonically switch that to minor. What does it become?
F sharp.
Minor likes to go to
B7.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to get through this. Because if you call this G flat minor, you're dealing with C flat 7. Those aren't as easy to think of, and they spell badly on paper.
Right.
So that's the Brahms cutoff. Schumann and Brahms, those guys.
I
kind of say it tongue in cheek because they didn't cut it off always. They make things sometimes go. Franz Liszt wrote a whole part of something in G sharp.
You gotta say sharp. Fuck it, man.
But usually them cats did cut it off right about there.
There's a line.
Yeah, because we don't
cross that line.
B double flat minor. Yep.
Think of how many performers have cursed those guys.
It's true.
You know?
The spellings. You look up and see a row of double flats coming up.
I was, I'm doing stuff, some of that stuff, like I'm transposing some tunes, mainly for the guitar, like, what was it? Like Goodbye Pork Pie Hat was in 3 flats, and I moved it down. I forgot, you move it down one key or something, and boom, it just opens the hole. It's easier to think of, it's easier to play. Anyway, okay, so...
Good that you're aware of that. So yeah, try roadmap thinking. All the things you are, I think, 6,
mm-hmm.
2, 5,
right.
1, 4, up a half step, and start a 2, 5. I don't say key of 2, 5, 1, or 3. Can't think that fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember to think up a half step.
Okay.
So when I get to the 4,
mm-hmm.
go up a half step. Sometimes I don't say 6, 2, 5, or I say start on relative minor, just say cruise forward in the key in four.
Okay.
So it's F, B flat, mm-hmm. E flat, A flat, D flat. When you hear it get to there, metrically you can feel it. Now mm-hmm. it's time to change. That's when you think up a half step and get your 2-5.
Okay.
And it'll lead you to your key. If I say let's play an E, so you start in your relative minor, C sharp, or fourth higher, you can spit them out.
F sharp.
F sharp. Fourth.
Oh, doing fourth.
Yeah.
B.
B.
E.
A. No. No. We've arrived at. You got to hear the song in the back of your mind. C sharp minor. Just feel the song. You don't have to hear the melody. B7.
Right.
E. A. Now what do? Think. Everybody's just telling you now. Roadmap in the song. I wasn't going in your computer. Okay. Up, run, half step.
Oh, were you talking about All Things You Are?
Yes.
I wasn't even relating to that tune.
You heard me doing it.
Yeah, I did hear you do it. I hear you talking about it. But I drifted. Okay.
So stay with it, man.
Yeah.
Up a half step from A.
To B flat.
And make it begin minor. At 2-5 in your mind. So say the chords. A. Here comes.
B flat.
B flat.
Yeah, E flat.
And.
A flat.
That's right. That leads you into the key. You don't have to even know that it was going to be in that key. You're just there. If you've done that correctly, everything falls in place.
Mm-hmm.
What you do now is you remember to make this chord into a, you have to hear the song too, so when your ears are playing it, you make it into a minor, say G sharp minor, because we're in a sharp key to begin, so G sharp. Maybe a switch now from A flat into G sharp.
Right.
Get back towards the sharp key.
Right, okay, gotcha.
G sharp. What's our next one? C sharp. So you got to think force for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
G sharp. C sharp,
sharp
call them out.
F sharp, sharp,
call them out.
B,
keep calling.
E,
B, up a half step. F, B flat,
okay,
E flat.
Gotcha.
Starts at 2-5. F. I don't think of the 2-5 at 7 there.
Right.
That's the last thing I think anymore. I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder.
Yeah.
I had to think ahead always. I was always trying to think ahead, which means I couldn't play what I wanted to hear at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was too much brain cells trying to catch the next one. Unless I played it in the easy key that I've used, all, you know, the A flat, the standard key, over and over. So this way you can play in any key.
Okay. I mean, and generally, you say...
You're not convinced of this,
I am somewhat, but I don't quite get it. When I say somewhat, it's going to be revisited.
The roadmap thing is that we mix in lots and lots of distance without numbers. We say, do this now. But we rely on our past training to say, now that I've done this, it's got to do that. Because you know. Like if you know that you go up a half step to a chord that becomes a 2, you damn well better know, not just you, all of us, better know the 5 and the 1.
Right.
Or we can't use this method. So you can only say up a half step to a 2. You don't say that in your mind. Out loud. You say it very quickly, just up a half step, and then you remember it begins a 2-5.
Okay, that's it.
2-5-1.
Right.
So, but that is easy to think of.
The main thing is to get that change up a half step.
Change up a half step is the thing where your girlfriend says, turn left.
Right.
Let's say turn left is like going down a half step, turn right is up a half step. She's saying turn right at those junctures.
Can you, like, do you look at tunes like saying, oh, I know this I know this tune because it's the one that has that. Yeah, you know, basically they're all 2-5,
you memorize the roadmap of every tune because it's
and what's unique.
And then there are many, many that are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Luzette does a lot of half-step things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. A lot of, actually, Luzette's most...
I don't know that tune, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Well, Luzette's most prominent feature is the cycle of force for 90% of the tune. And switch from major to minor chords constantly. Anytime it's a major, it switches to minor, either on the same root or up or down a half step. Always. No exception.
So I have to just analyze the progression.
Every tune has its own little roadmap. Right. It takes some time, but boy, once you get it going, I think I could play All the Things You Are in any key if I put my mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't study it.
Right.
Because I got a roadmap and you know your keys after a while. It's not that I'm there. Anybody could be. It's just a roadmap, a method. And you say, you just start, what key you want to play? A, you say F sharp, B, A, D, up a half step, minor, C sharp, F sharp, B, E, A, up a half step, B flat, E flat, A flat.
Right, right, gotcha.
Then you stay in that key. And that goes down a half step. You references turn left instead of right. Mm-hmm. The G starts at 2-5 though when it's down a half step. Mm-hmm. So you just go down and remember to start at 2-5.
Gotcha.
Then it lives there and then it comes up a half step again. She says turn right. So, wow, that's the first chord of the song again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a song that has the, if you turn right and left at the right spot,
mm-hmm. right.
aside from the diatonic fourth motion, you
right.
can't get lost.
Gotcha. I do, I understand that.
It's a little work, but it,
right.
I swear the other method on the stand, no matter how good you're at it, it's so much thinking ahead instead of
that's what
in
I was
moment.
Afraid of. I mean, that's why I was scared of it.
This thing, you live in the moment. You
mm-hmm.
just go, now it's time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to do that. Instead of saying, wow, see, the next key is 3, and you have to plan ahead. I hate that.
Right.
That's not what we're here for.
Right. Okay.
I'm not saying we shouldn't do it if we have to, but
mm-hmm.
shoot, man, if we don't have to, then we shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We okay on that?
Yeah, I do understand that. I mean, it's something I think that's going to be a gradual thing as far as it, just starting to analyze it. And
okay, Cherokee, the bridge goes up a half step, so your best bet is to have done the song enough where you can think fast. This is a song you should not do until you know 2-5-1 in every key
right.
in a nanosecond.
Right.
So fast. Do you already feel that you do that? That you can
pretty
say
good.
2-5-1 in your head of any key
yeah.
really, really fast?
Pretty good.
Okay. Then you can do Cherokee.
Yeah.
Then you say, the first key of a bridge is how far above the home key?
Major third?
No, just a half step, believe it or not.
I don't really know the tune, but...
Oh, okay. You don't know the... okay.
I mean, I just memorized that beginning part. I think I remember it was a C-sharp minor in the key I was playing it. I said,
okay, well, if and when you should make
right.
a decision to deal with that song,
mm-hmm.
it is an attractive song. And you
great tune.
You will remember that the bridge can be found in one of two quick ways. You either go up 3 letters of the mother alphabet, which
mm-hmm.
is the chromatic alphabet,
mm-hmm.
from where you are,
mm-hmm.
and begin your 2-5 cycles, which we'll explain in a second. So if you're in C, how far? Where would you go real fast?
C, D.
No. Let me say it again. You go up 3.
D sharp.
But
D
you
flat.
Want to use a sensible one if you're going to be in major keys.
E flat.
E flat, right? Because that'll lead you. This is something else you got to memorize. Which are the priority keys in enharmonics? Do we
mm-hmm.
play in G sharp major or A flat major?
Yeah, A flat.
That's right. For majors, 5 flats or 7 sharps? We usually choose 5 flats.
Right.
So it's E flat minor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play Cherokee in C, you can either zip up a minor third to get the
E
2
flat.
Chord, or you can say key of flat 2.
Uh-huh.
If you know your 2-5s
okay,
well.
Gotcha.
Then from there on, you don't have to say key of anything.
Right.
You just do your intervals.
Right.
You just do 2-5-1, and then you make that chord a minor, which begins a new 2-5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make that chord a minor after you stay there a while, and that begins another 2-5-1. That leads you into the minor, which is the relative minor. It's just something you learn in
mm-hmm.
this song, which followed by its friendly dominant, which is always, always, the 2 dominant is the one that loves the relative minor. It's just something you memorize
mm.
in music theory. Followed finally by the 2 chords that are the common ones in Tin Pan Alley songs to get you home, which are, of course, the 2
right.
and the 5. And that's the road map for the bridge of that song.
Like, are you thinking in terms of tonal center, saying, hey, really, it goes to, you know, it's and each tonal center has a 2-5, no?
I don't even do that
okay.
in the song.
Okay.
I just remember, cycle 4, I know that there are 2-5-1s,
mm-hmm.
but I just want to hit the changes.
Because
okay. if I think tonal center, I might be too tempted to just play the major scale through all 3 chords or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So if you say, if we're in E, the Bridge of Cherokee is G minor 7,
mm-hmm.
C7, F. I want to catch a separate sound in every one of those if
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Then F minor 7, B flat 7. Well, I'm not thinking that's the key of E flat. It flashes on the screen. You
right.
can't help it.
Right.
Because you've done it a lot, hundreds of times, those 3 chords.
Mm-hmm.
So you see. But you mainly say, what do I love on F minor 7? What do
mm-hmm.
I love when B flat 7 follows it?
Right.
Especially when it's pulling me towards an E flat major.
Mm-hmm.
What do I love when I make that into an E flat minor 7 to A flat 7 and D flat?
Okay.
Then a
gotcha.
C sharp minor, there's our enharmonic switch to the relative minor to the following 2 dominant, which is the companion. This is a lot of words,
right.
man, but it all flashes easy on the screen compared to 2-5 of 5, 2-5 of 7, 2-5 of 6.
I mean, you're sort of talking after the fact in some respects.
It's not even after the fact. Really? It's during the fact.
Yeah, right.
It's happening, and you're thinking, what do I love? That's okay. What I want to think when I'm up there. What do I love that I can get that I'm already capable of doing?
Okay.
Instead of, here I am in the key of, shoot, what is this, flat 2? Then I say, wow, key of 7, key of 6. I don't want to think of that.
Right.
That's too much.
Gotcha.
It's just too much.
If
it took me 25 years to figure that out, Mark, don't feel bad that you're getting it now.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't know that for a long, long time, man. I did it the other way. I tried to move.
Well, I started to, and I found it was just getting goddamn bulky. It was,
bulky.
Like carrying too much baggage.
It sure is.
I mean, I go, God, you know, I'll learn this, I'll get this tune memorized just by visually and stuff. It will take me several hours, but to learn... What's so easy about this? It will take me twice as long to learn it this way, too. You see what I'm saying?
You mean the way I'm supposed
to... No, the way I said, you know, to have a Roman numeral for every chord change that I want to do in this tune.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It takes an awful long time.
It will take twice as long.
It's really... It's treacherous.
So I guess I got to just use it as a quick reference, you know? Whatever's the fast path type thing.
But you find those after a while.
Right.
You really do. The sensible thing is use the numbers where they make things easy.
Mm-hmm.
But always be on the lookout for intervallic distance methods that make it even easier at given junctures where you say, boy, this would be easier if I just said, go up a half step to yourself, right?
Cool.
You do understand that?
Yes.
Good.
It makes it a lot easier, actually.
I like that, Mark, that you... This makes,
it cuts through a lot
through
of
tonight.
Shit.
We're not through.
No, I know.
But I like that you... This makes my job feel better that you
right
say
on.
This to me.
Right on. Hey, Ted. So, can we work on a tune?
Yeah, which tune do you want to do?
Invitation.
Okay. I haven't looked at that tune in a zillion years, but I'm willing.
Well, I want to show you my changes. And
okay, let's do it. Play them for me, please.
Okay. I don't have it that well down, but let's... I'll show you, like, there's a lot of open areas in this tune that you could probably do shit with. And there's just...
Talk about harmonizing.
Yeah, I want to talk about harmonizing melody. I don't need that.
What don't you like that you just did?
Oh, I like that. I just wanted to see how you would approach, like there's some spots here I have questions with.
Well, that's where we got to go, the spots you don't like.
Like there I go, I like going to that flat 6, that's I sort of learned that from this exercise you gave me.
Yes.
The flat 6-9, you know.
That's a pretty sound, huh?
Yeah, I dig it. Then I don't know, even though I just, some sounds I just pick up from my ear, whether I don't know whether they make
sense.
Well,
how do you find them on the board? It's one thing to hear a sound when your fingers are down, but how does your ear hear it? How do you know if it's a chord or a line or what is it that you're hearing?
I haven't analyzed that yet, necessarily.
Is it your fingers to keep trying things until you find
sort
a grip
of.
That you like?
I think.
A new grip, you say, wow, this is a cool one.
Or with a melody line, you know?
Yeah, it's a given that there's a melody up there because you're trying to harmonize the soprano, right? Right? Do you understand me too that there's always a soprano here?
Right.
That's
right.
The given. Then what you're hearing underneath it is what we're discussing.
I don't know how I arrived at this. Whether there was some logical form going here to a 7. Oh.
Try to remember your methods, Mark. I'm in favor of you doing whatever you love, but I want you to remember your methods because they come in handy later to help you when you're stuck.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and then because when I look at it, I go, well, okay, here's this flat 6. And then the next chord is a 7 flat 5.
It doesn't arrive there yet, does it? In the music, you could put it in, but Doesn't the music just show like that?
There's a trip.
Isn't that all just one?
I'm changing that.
Okay, so you've added a lot of
tunes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like hit the beginning, here's.
So you went to a 4 minor major? Yes,
Okay, that's.
That's jazzy, man.
That's,
I like it, though.
That's all good. One right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I was.
It's different.
Mm hmm. Most guys.
You went to a 5 minor with the minor major 9, huh?
5 minor?
Keep going.
Yeah, 5 minor.
It's weird. It almost makes it sound like it's in that key, which is very novel for the year. Like, oh, is he going to play it in 2 keys, flirt back and forth?
And the flat 6.
Yeah. Flat 6 of where you were, not
right.
The home key.
Yes. Yeah.
Trying to fool me. That's okay.
I'm just hearing this. Then I didn't.
You're allowed to play the 1 chord. You finally played a 1 chord.
Yeah. Briefly.
It's not necessary, but you're
well,
allowed to.
Well, the question is how do we do this?
How do we do what?
How do we harmonize this stuff?
I mean, how do we harmonize
it? Am I doing this the right way?
Do you like
way?
What you got?
Some of it, yeah.
Show me a part you don't like.
Okay, where... So, what I find going with the C... Actually, that could be just a note. But actually, I have problems coming to this D right here. Where I want to go...
Show me where you don't
okay,
like
so
this
it. Goes,
is again what I need to see.
Then I have a problem going, maybe something like that, you know.
You don't like what you're playing with?
Eh, you know. And what, especially when it comes up, I don't know what to do here. Here we have the same motif, you know, like this. On it.
What's it show on the music?
It just shows one chord. You see, all this is one chord, and I'm going nuts. I'm going, how can I put a cool progression together here?
Well, one says, this is, you ask me for my opinion,
please.
So I'll say this thing. My method is to work usually from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
meaning I'll start and say, what sounds great that's in the key?
Mm-hmm.
It starts with that.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the key that I love in a minor key? What's the vocabulary of minor key life in this country, in this century?
Mm-hmm.
You hear me so far?
Yes.
I mean, you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Then I put them babies down as strategic spots and try to see if they make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, boo-dum-wee-bum, like right there. I say, well, do I want a 1? Probably so. I might start, just to get it off the ground, I'll start with a 1 for the first chorus of the song. Won't
mm-hmm.
kill me or anybody else.
Right.
Ba ba di ya ba ba ba. Now right there, maybe I said, well, that's enough. One that's ba. Now let's target that cool note at the end of the phrase with something else that lives happily in the family of the home key.
Right.
Ba. That's the second of the key. My solfege chops. I'm trying to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the second. Yeah, it's a second.
Mm-hmm.
So
great melody, geez.
It's a wonderful melody. Yeah. Bronislaw was just the best
Bernie.
That day.
Bernie.
So then I say, wow, I still like the 1 chord there.
Uh-huh.
If I were real sparse on the other, as in... I don't like that. I don't like that either.
Uh-huh. So what are you trying?
What I'm trying to do is see...
But,
stay with me, Mark.
Okay.
Here's the 1 chord. There's other shadings in the 1.
Mm-hmm.
Darker shadings with the minor major.
Right. Gotcha.
Neutral shadings. Add minor, add 9.
Mm-hmm.
Deep organ bass,
mm-hmm.
5 in the bass. Okay, I'm going to go through every degree of the chromatic scale in minor. Show you what I think is available and not available. Just as
maybe
example.
That's what I need to do, yes, please.
At strategic points,
right.
Not in every melody note, or it takes you 2 months to get through one nice version of a song.
Right.
Just the strategic spots first. Target those main notes
right.
first that
okay.
feel like the more emphasized one. So suddenly we try the flat two. I already know myself that for the first chorus I won't want that interval. So I junk all the flat twos. They're all overbooked. Then I try the twos. I remember you can have a major two because of the Hungarian minor and also the 5 of 5. So then I say, well, am I hearing a major two chord? You asked me for what likes to approach the sharp four half diminished.
Mm-hmm.
I try to remember what approaches the two major so I can lead into it. What approaches it is the 1 minor 7 because of the chromatic triadness of a 1 minor 7. It's just a factor.
Can I recap just a
sure.
losing bass here? You're trying to pick just pivotal places to put in.
To try to get a... Since you want to reharmonize
right.
this, you don't want to stay on
right.
lots of beautiful ones. It's not enough for you. You want to add changes that aren't even there. We call that
okay.
reharmonization.
So, and you're working on ba da da on the A.
I already went past that. I'm not working on the A.
Oh.
See, because I felt like I would still end up using a 1 there to
okay.
get it off the ground. I
okay.
would go. I'm trying to hear the key. Put the listener's ear in the key
okay.
for the first time out.
Okay.
Don't need to throw everything overboard
sure.
right away. Then. Here it could stand something.
Gotcha.
I know what I love there.
That's when you were talking about the two earlier. This two in reference to the melody. It's a melody.
Right. Of
this. Top.
Yeah. So now I'm trying to take it through a lot of different ones. I
mm-hmm.
might take it even to a dominant one just to try it. I just see how it sounds. I might love it. I might not.
Mm-hmm.
Tried C13 there. Just
okay.
I know that I'm going to want to check out other degrees than one, so I started to go to flat two. I find I don't like that root. Two is very ordinary if I stay with root and the bass, but
mm-hmm.
I don't want to disallow the whole family because the root and the bass doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that third and the bass triads live in the key.
Mm-hmm.
The D major is part of the key of C minor in the broadest sense.
Right.
It's all sounding like C minor. So I'm trying it there. I'm going to try
okay.
it. Go ahead. Say what you
When you're saying relative to C minor, are you trying every degree chromatically?
Yeah, I'm going to try 12.
Okay, yes. Very good. Okay.
How
and major, minor,
I,
whatever.
Yeah. If I've got the time and energy, that's what
mm-hmm.
I would do.
Okay.
So, I'd hear it and say, yeah, I think I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I try it. I'd see second version of mine. I like that floating sound of the dock. Deep bass in the 5 of this. And I'd say, let's try it. Two dominant with flat 5 sound very much like flat 6 dominant with flat 5. We're about halfway home from even getting to a flat 6
mm-hmm.
chord. Those I love, I know, and you love them, you
mm-hmm.
find out.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to love hearing a flat
yes.
6. And that voice is better than a 2 chord. With a key
mm-hmm.
down there. So I'm not going to mess with this. This is okay, but this is total great for me.
Right, right.
So let's move on. So flat 3. This is the major 7th of flat 3 chords.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to try and go. Is that puzzle you?
No.
The D note.
No,
the D
no.
note is.
Gotcha.
Okay, so
just
we
have
to
relay. Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't like
that's
that.
Cool.
I don't like that. That was the
that's
E5
cool.
major 7. Wouldn't have known unless I tried it. Minor scales sometimes produce major 7 augmented on the flat 3, so I'm going to
mm-hmm.
try that.
Yeah, with the harmonic.
Yeah, good. When I hear that, I just hear the 1 chord still. It sounds like the upper notes of the 1. So if I play it, I won't call it E flat. It doesn't sound E flattish enough. It still
okay.
sounds like. Whereas this one does sound like E flat.
Wait.
When it's
okay.
not got the sharp 5, it retains its major key.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Major color, I should say. Major chord color. Major family.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll move forward to minor majors because they can have a major 7 on top. A minor major
right.
7. Those, I can tell you right off, those sound like flat 6 dominants. without the right bass note, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I saved them for the end of this tune. I remember later now. Mm-hmm. It's coming back to me. That sounds like F before.
Oh, yeah, right. Way cool.
Yeah. It's dark. This whole song's dark.
I love it. Yeah. It's the sultry, you know. Yeah, it's this chick in a black dress in the fog that you can barely see.
You know those early post-World War II films, black and white?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what was a copy of this tune? Body Heat. You see that?
I haven't seen that film.
Oh, man.
William Is that Hurt. Kathleen Turner?
Yeah, it's a takeoff on this, but go ahead.
The music's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, and just the whole concept from the 50s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
So we move towards now diminished major sevens. They exist too.
We're still in the flat three.
That's right. Trine chords have major sevens in them.
Coolness.
Not bad. I like diminished major sevens when they have weird pedal tones.
Flat three. We're trying to get all the sounds
on the flat three now
that have the major seventh on top.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because we're on the flat three, and that's what it ends up being. The D note
right.
is the major
right.
seven
gotcha.
On the flat three.
Gotcha, boss. Okay, gotcha.
So this is a diminished major seven.
Mm-hmm.
Diminished scale harmony has how many notes in the scale? Diminished scales have how many notes in them?
12. I mean, four times.
No,
four.
The diminished scale has how many notes in it? Any key. How many?
Diminished scale, I don't know.
You play a diminished scale.
Yes.
Da, 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 boo,
mean the whole half stuff?
That's what we call the diminished. Isn't that what you call the diminished?
Yes.
And how many notes are in that thing? I'll give you help. Ace.
Eight. Okay.
Here's how you can remember it forever. Django Reinhardt visited this scale and plucked out four notes.
Mm-hmm.
Boo, boo, da, 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 the diminished seven arpeggio.
Right. Right.
You hear him go.
Yes.
He loves that arpeggio. Yeah. Some modern cats came along way before him, actually, especially afterwards in jazz, and added half steps below those notes or whole steps above. Either way, it creates the same scale.
Right. Right. Right.
The eight notes in the scale.
Okay.
We can add one more note, a natural five.
Mm-hmm.
Of the root tone of the moment. It's a pedal tone for the bottom end.
I've seen it.
It sounds
that.
Good.
It sounds beautiful.
So now we're going to add it in the bass on this to try it. On the flat third degree, though,
right.
its own five is going to be in the bass under the diminished major seven. A lot of words.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's E flat diminished major seven. Its own natural five down low. Something is confusing.
The natural five, which is a B flat.
That's right.
Okay.
Now we're going to move to the normal three.
Right.
In minor keys, we don't have much prayer there. It'll sound pretty strange, but let's try it anyway. It'll be what tone of the natural three upstairs? The soprano will be what?
Of the natural three? It'd be the set flat seven.
That's right. So at least it'll give us dominant. Let's see
right.
what that does. It's really far away.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible. It's just different.
No.
But I don't know about the first time, the first chorus.
Yeah.
I'd save it for later.
Shock the guys into the bathroom.
Yeah. But suddenly it opens up a whole world of shockingness that's not unpleasant, because it's not an unpleasant chord. It's not a weird chord. Just a weird degree to have it on in the key. E9, E11, the alters. Really different.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's move on.
Okay.
We could go minor 7 on that degree, too. Herbie Hancock reorganizing
them. Yeah.
But for later, not the first time, maybe, unless you want to shock everybody the first time. But it's there. Right?
Yeah.
You're understanding
this is a great way to, this is the killer.
Great.
This is what I need.
Okay. The next degree is the four.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to a chord that, unless the bass is the root, or unless the root is prominently featured in the voicing in a nice, pleasant way, you will not hear it as anything other than the one, because the four dominant is very much the same sounds as the one minor sound.
Mm-hmm, right.
Unless that bass note is down there, or again, if the root's in a very significant way inside the chord, the F in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try. It's the four down.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Love it. This is also in minor chords. It's the 13th of a Dorian minor.
Right.
It's too low to sound like it. It won't sound like it.
Mm-hmm.
It will up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the melody up an octave. Say it's a 22 fretter.
Oh, God.
Forward. 13s are like the 6, so it's a stock note for diminished. My stomach is really growling, Mark. Luckily, we're not getting the exhaust fumes.
Right.
It's just a diminished sound.
Okay.
That sounds like a 5
mm-hmm.
in disguise. That
mm-hmm.
So we'll move on to the sharp 4 degree.
Right.
Sharp 4s are most commonly what kind of quality in a song?
Minor.
Second most is minor. The most common is minor 7-5-5,
right?
Because it's the same top notes as the relative minor of the key. If we're in C major,
mm-hmm.
A minor,
right?
Flat 7, the bass of itself. There's that chord that it's still A minor, but it has a different bass.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being
right. I see.
There's
I
that
gotcha.
Thing that we had to work.
Gotcha.
So we're going to try a minor 7-5-5, except right away we realize with that D melody we can't have a pure one. We can have one sharp 4 of the key is?
That's F sharp.
Right. When we put that melody upstairs, it's the sharp 5. Years ago I discovered that minor 7-5-5s,
right.
Just a lucky break, I found it as a kid. It was one of the only mm-hmm. cool chords I ever found as a child. Minor 7-5-5 loves to have the sharp 5 there too. When you hear songs that go,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play that phrase again for you so you can hear it in the key better this time.
Yes,
it's a nice
very
sound.
Cool.
It's the flat 5 and the sharp 5.
Mm-hmm.
But this is out of register. It's so dark now
right.
that I'm gonna disallow it for this song in this
mm-hmm.
key.
Mm-hmm.
How about dominant sharp 5? It ends up it is the sharp 5.
Mm-hmm.
Or minor 7 straight sharp 5. Sounds like a fourth chord.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try.
Yeah.
No, not bad.
Interesting.
All these are there.
Right.
My first tendency is because they sound a little dark in that register, not as distinct as
mm-hmm.
to bring the song much higher and try it to see if
key.
I love the effect. Yeah. Seven sharp, nine sharp, five. Pretty different.
Is that on the sharp 4?
Yes, it is. Because I was in the E, so I went to the flat or A sharp. I sometimes call it the flat 5, too, depending on how hard the key is I'm dealing with and how much sense it'll make to make that distinction at any moment. Next would be the 5. We'll move forward.
Right, please.
So the 5 can be dominant or minor or, in rare cases, major.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to really sound different. I'm going to make it major first. What chord will that be?
It's going to be G.
This is like a different song. It's pretty.
Yeah, it sure is.
I'd save it for the final chord of the song or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great for a part in a film where things got better, something for the protagonist, you know?
Like the door just opened and someone came in.
Yeah, and you're happy to see him. Yeah, so
okay.
That's 5 major.
Right. Now the 5th, okay, I got a question.
But that sounds like a modulation.
Yes. And here we're on a 5 major, 5 dominant, and the 5th is in the melody. So.
No, the 2nd of the keys, it's on 5.
It's on 5.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That
doesn't that definitely eliminates a lot of sounds.
You bet. No alterts.
Right.
No, I shouldn't say no alterts. No sharp five on top. Flat, that's right. For sure. No flat five on top. But that's every chord that we just did eliminated everything.
Right.
Every time we put something down, there were many things we couldn't put down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's not quite as bad as you think.
Okay.
So then we try minor nine.
Mm-hmm.
You played the minor 6-9,
right,
didn't you?
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool just now. I like that. I wouldn't have known that if we weren't sitting here doing this. That worked, you know? Dominant chords.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, eliminates a lot of dominants.
You know, extensions might be cool.
So if this were done in a lower key, down low, A minor.
So is this how you go through a tune?
If I want harmonizations. If I'm happy with my sprinklings of them at the parts where I'm not happy with the basic changes, or the count. See, I find a lot of chords who counterpoint to moving lines and seeing where they lead me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might too. Just trying a line. Just. I didn't like that. I heard a clash right away. Singing that and playing that. Mm-hmm. I love this line. Not at that moment. So I notice that and say, well, shoot, I guess I'm going to have to speed the motion up. Let's try.
Yeah, I like it goes. Where it goes, where I have. So I wanted a little echo of that melody. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Do that again. I'd like to hear. No, it wasn't, but I like that effect too. That is echo.
I didn't know where to carry it, you know.
Yeah, I don't hear that as an echo, but I hear it as a nice linear motion to get to your next chord.
Mm-hmm.
An echo would be.
Right.
Where you almost echo that big drop, that rise and fall.
That was my original, like last night when I was working, or a couple nights ago when I was working on this, was like, I go, that's how I want to put this together like that, but it just mutates. So
now we're up to, let's move to the flat six. This is where it becomes a sharp 11.
Right.
I love that sound, either as a Lydian sound, with even no third in it. As long as there's a nine with the Lydian note, we're usually happy. So 1, 5, 9, sharp 11. A flat.
Right. 1, 5, 9. And then sharp 11, right, okay.
But never in the bass.
No, I know that. I'm just eyeballing it.
No. Watch. Sharp 11 is found by looking at sus4s above 3s.
Okay, right.
And raising it to sharp sus4.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's the fastest one.
Good.
9 is found by taking your octave, I know we're a little out of tune, and going up a whole step from there. So now you have them both. And that's what I was playing here.
Okay.
So we got. That sounds like that chord that comes at the end of the song before you.
Right.
Yet, I might do it earlier in the song. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there, though. And, of course, the dominance with sharp 11 are just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
We love those.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful.
Now we try the natural.
Six.
Yeah, it's really like the raised six compared to the lowered six, right? Sometimes I call it the raised six. Differentiated. I act like there's no normal six and minor because it's so variable. There's either a lowered guy or a raised guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be A. Sounds like another song. Sounds like Dolphin Bells.
Mm-hmm. I do that tune. I love that tune. That's a good tune.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
Song? I shouldn't say that so glad. That's a tune I've never gotten the roadmap absolutely straight. I've got to go back. I had it almost down once. Anyway, that's not your problem. Next. next one will be the flat 7 of the key. Now, it's only going to be a third on the flat 7.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, this allows quite an array of sparkly other things, but what it does allow is ninths, major 7, sharp 5s, which are pretty colorful. Let's try one of those.
Major 7.
Oh, I love major 7, sharp 5. Those are great. So, we're going to try one.
Yes.
It's dark, like the song
is dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't want to forget about major 7 sharp 5s when you need the darker color. They're definitely dark.
Thirds, now that you brought that up, thirds in the melody, I've had problems with, big problems.
Yes, I used to too.
I don't dig them.
Bring in, when you try dominant things and let them work, bring in major 7 sharp 5.
Okay.
You'll try?
I will try it because, man, I have lots of problems with dominant chords. Right. With thirds.
That's
the melody.
Okay. It's not your fault.
And a major chords with sixth of the melody.
Before we go to major with sixth.
Okay.
Dominant with 3 on top. Don't forget about 9 sharp 5.
That's cool.
Natural 9 sharp 5.
Right, that's cool. Natural 9 sharp 5.
It's a George Gershwin sound. Oh. Sounds like, you know what it ends up sounding like? 4 dominant 7 over 5. It sounds like...
I had a question on one of the sheets that you gave me of what that really was.
Who was?
Well, you had a third of the melody. Okay, here's your sharp 9. Right at B.
Oh, B.
Okay. That's what...
That's still at B7 sharp 5.
Oh, then maybe I was missing the point there.
Okay, stay with me on B flat 7.
Okay.
Play B flat 7 with the third on top. Put the 9 in the bass from the instead of the root. Now raise the 5th inside from F to F sharp. Good. Now that chord also sounds like play. It sounds like an A flat. I'll lead it towards G minor 7. With B flat on top. Kind of lead down to B flat on top of G minor 7. Just lead down there. B flat on top.
B flat. Oh, on top here. Sorry.
Let's play that sound again. So we're going to be in say like the key of E flat. We're playing. Say we've already played a song that was. Kind of a sweet sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now that's a 5-9 sharp 5. Ray Charles is the only guy I know that's used it a lot throughout his career.
Okay.
It's a great sound. Joe Pass loves him too, but he always plays it this way. Uh-huh. Still, it's something. This
gotcha.
Is Ray's favorite
gotcha.
Ray too.
I'm in tune on that now.
So the chord has a what in it?
It's got a sharp 5 and a raised and a natural 9.
Natural 9. That's the feature that makes it so unusual. That chord also, in many voicings, sounds like a composite. It sounds like a 4-7 with an overtone, a sharp 11 in it, over a pedal bass on the 5th of the key.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've heard Mr. Gershwin use this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great sound, man.
Okay.
Third on top. Also, suspended dominance with a 17 on top. About those?
Not really. But I mean,
can you tell this is a nice sound?
Yeah, it's
spacious.
Nice. Yeah, very.
11-y.
Beautiful.
Easy to hold?
No way. No.
Without the bass? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of cake without the bass.
Mm-hmm.
The bass part.
Right.
What is that? When we put an 11th in a chord, the third's gone, usually.
Mm-hmm.
However, and if you test it, B511, the third doesn't help the 11. If you put it next to 11, they're kind of clashing still.
Mm-hmm.
You can break them up and make them sweet, especially if you hide it under a stable note, put one above them, like a root.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
they're not bad, much better. However, if you don't want to mess with that, if you don't have time to break the chord up, or if it's not the right kind of folky texture for the song, live without the third. Put the 11 in there and say no third, but follow your row up of. Is the next natural note.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3, way above an 11. So, before you play it, when you're when you find that a note works poorly down low and works fairly equally poorly in the mid-range, but sounds gorgeous upstairs, mm-hmm. not just acceptable, but really gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like you play B-flat 11 for me.
Sure.
Play this chord now.
Yeah, right.
But it's so different in mm-hmm. one register. It mm-hmm. needs its own name to be accurately rather placed. So we call it 17 up here.
Okay.
It's one of the only times in theory when you need to go above 11 to correctly get things going on. Okay. This is what it sounds like in a stack of intervals.
That's nice. That's
there.
Very nice.
Play it like B flat, F, A flat, E flat, G. We wish we could keep the B flat up here in it, but we don't need it. Just leap up to the D, which is the 17. We do need the A flat, though, to give it its A flat.
That's a tough one.
Smash it. The third finger, just bar it.
That's hard for me to do right now.
To bar the third finger?
Yeah.
Can I see you lay your third finger down on two strings? You can't normally do that?
That's tough.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you play F minor 9, do you play it like this, Mark? So what if we shift your bass note now to B flat? Make sure the A flat is still sounding. Okay, it's not easy, but you can do it.
It's one of those things where you just have to grab it for a while.
If you want to grab the part that works fast for the hand, you grab that much.
But I like starting off with an E minor 9 to a B.
F minor.
F minor, yeah.
Right. Remember we had kind of tangy sounding, huh?
Very nice. Very nice.
It's warm.
So that's basically...
No, we're not quite there. Okay. We're close. We've got onto the idea of thirds on top, so that's why we got off.
Okay.
Now, the next chord is B, so you did this. You did this already. It's wonderful. You reharmonized it with a raised 9 on top.
Right.
It's either a minor third on top. Now, what changes a minor third into a sharp 9? The presence of a...
Of the sharp 5?
No. If you take a B minor 7 and sharp the 5th, we don't hear a raised 9.
No.
It's still minor.
Well, it's the inclusion of the major 3rd.
You got it.
Yeah.
You win the tournament. Yeah. This note changes. This is no longer heard as minor.
Mm-hmm.
Proof is... There we go. It's another sound now.
It's the James Brown special sound.
Yeah, you know what it is, man? It really makes it bluesier. Because it's like that blue third that singers...
Right.
They're not singing... And they're not singing this. It's in between. And when we play them both together, it approximates in a very crude way that bluesy effect. So, yeah, so you could make these raised 9s or minor thirds. And then, of course, flat 5s and whatever else is in the chord that you want. So that's the survey on one target note.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through the whole tune like that, take you maybe 5 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours,
but man,
write down your findings and you'll have ammunition to harmonize it at least 3 or 4 choruses with.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still find that you're not happy with certain spots, but that's normal. Meaning you won't like how some things, maybe you want some counterpoint and you can't find it. Well, I'll try and help you.
Yeah, because I mean there are like some dead spots where it goes, you know.
There's special ways to treat that.
I mean that's beautiful, but then here we sit for
again,
4 beats.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Like minor. Did I ever give you the minor in astronomy page?
No.
Get the copy of that. Before I get it, I want to just say a few words.
Okay.
Minor encompasses at least 4 subfamilies, all of which are characteristic. This song has the quality, but it's not in the ultra-dark harmonization types of being in the moody, reflective, minor six subfamily. Mm-hmm. It's got that vibe to it, like Round Midnight.
Right, love
and
it.
Like Angel Eyes. Those are all minor six.
Alone Together? That would
I don't know that well enough yet. I might have to learn. I've heard it once or twice, but it's not stuck in there yet.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I've heard good people play it too, but I just don't know it. Anyway, minor sevens are very soft in comparison. They're very moody too, but they have very easy on the ear. There's no threatening or mysterious, like, I don't know, it's not nearly as tense.
Right.
No matter how many good extensions you put in there, they don't have a tension about it. I've heard people use the minor 6-9 for scoring ominous things. When the Wolfman shows up, or Sherlock Holmes, he's like, he's chasing down the things. But it's beautiful. It's the kind of tension you like, you know? I mean, it's like... Okay, then you have the minor 7 flat 5s. Those are very much more than others subservient to what degree they're placed on. When you put them on 3, they sound soft and yielding. Mm-hmm. You put them on 2, they sound not only that, but almost sentimental and sad or romantic. That's the way most people, when you ask people, what is that? Give me an adjective, especially literate people.
Do you like put adjectives on sounds?
Only certain ones that I can, that where you notice,
like
I watch my reactions and I ask people all the time, how does that make you feel? Especially people that like to say in words, describe them, without getting too crazy in writing paragraphs. Just give me one word, or two different words, you know. Like if you write a love song for a girl and you write, and later you write, it's almost like that could be a memory of a time past.
There's
a little tiny note of sadness in there.
Mm.
Or, speaking of the heart, how much you love her, the depth you
feel. That's an amazing concept, amazing, huh?
It feels like it, man. I get a little misty just thinking about it. It's emotional, man.
Uh-huh.
It's an emotional thing.
That's a trip.
So minor 7 flat 5s have their own emotion.
Right.
But they're especially subservient. Like the ones on sharp 4 are very much into grandeur of the best type. Not pomposity, but they lift.
Right.
They elevate.
There's
sometimes they just create total warmth. And I never get that dark or sad, totally sad thing from
Absolutely.
Them. Just, there's a realness to them of a, like you're in D and you play.
To me, it's like hope.
Yeah, just, they're really great that way. They're very bright because of that Lydian note. You put it on the fifth degree, you got matadors at your house.
Don Carlos.
Don Carlos, nice to see you. You got tacos here.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, they are one of the most chameleon-like chords.
Yeah, that is.
All their extensions don't change. They just change whether the guy's got his red cape on or his orange red cape.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. You put the 11 in. That's the 11. With the
I do that. I use that in the little second in Nardis.
That's got that Spanish.
Yeah, I do.
5 minor 7 5 5. In the QV? Yeah.
Yeah, just as a little interlude.
There
you know.
Go. The Cuban Overture by Mr. Gershwin, things like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's its own subfamily. Okay. Now, minor major 7 is a dual personality chord.
Mm-hmm.
It's either extremely necessary to be functional, to be palatable, or it stands alone as a chord of starkness or grief. It's just a stomach growl, man.
Right.
I don't know what it is, man. My stomach just hungry, man. It hasn't eaten for many hours.
Oh, maybe you maybe.
No, it's getting there, but I'm all right. No. Okay. This is fun for me because we need to complete this
sure.
to give you that.
Okay.
It's good to tie loose ends. If you're playing just a minor major 7, if there's ever a thing where people say minor chords are sad, this would make them think that. Because minor major 7s do sound sad.
Oh, yeah.
They just sound so lonely and forlorn by themselves. But put them into functional harmony. Let's take the same chord, maybe. So you, Mark writes a piece, again, a love song, you write.
Oh, yeah.
At least the potential of romance. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking unbridled lust here. I just mean that there's...